Thank you. That was very nice. If I was a smart politician, I would say thanks and move on. But I want to hear your questions and your concerns. So I think we're ready to go. How are we going to do this?
Please, if you have questions, jot it down. Pass them to the end of the rows. NIAA staff will be happy to pick them up for you. We have a couple already that I might just start off with if you're ready. Mr. Secretary, a survey of this audience that you spoke to this morning was taken yesterday during the conference, and 72% of them felt that full implementation of NAIS by 2009 will not occur. What can you suggest to them that might make it occur?
Let's retake the survey, see if my speech had any impact. No. We sent those, or laid out those guidelines, if you will, as benchmarks. Again, this is a voluntary system. And we had it out there to say, this is what we would like to see accomplished. But again, we tried to emphasize that these are benchmarks. These are not mandatory. If this is missed, by a month or 2 months, it's not like the end of the world. But having said that, we felt that we had to have some goals along the way to just measure the progress we are making. I believe firmly that if you can measure your success, you're going to be more likely to be engaged and try to achieve that success. What we are experiencing, again, if you look at other countries, is pretty normal. You go through this stage where everybody's saying, man, I don't know, and should we do this? Why do I have to do it? Is it necessary, etc.? And I think that's exactly where we are at today. But I will also share with you that as this has progressed, producers in those countries have said to me, because I have visited Australia, I have seen their technology, I've talked to producers, they're saying to me, you know, this is about the best thing we've ever done. And now they're marketing it for competitive purposes. And let me tell you, if you wonder how big a competitor Australia is in beef, see what they did to the Japanese market when we were forced out of it and how we're going to have to fight to get that market back. So what I would say to you is this. These are goals. We're going to do everything we can to work with you to achieve those goals. We have some states that are doing just yeoman's work in this area and some states that are not as far along. That's the nature of a voluntary system. What we're going to try to do is identify those states where we can be helpful and reach out to them and try to figure out what we can do to try to assure their people and their producers and do all we can to boost that effort. But again, I want to emphasize the USDA is going to do everything to try to work through these issues. I've heard a little bit of rumbling on Capitol Hill about, well, you know, maybe we should just take this away from the USDA and this is going to be a mandatory system, etc. Personally, I think that would be the last worst approach. I just think that that would send a message that is not positive. I just continue to believe we can work through these issues and solve these issues, and we've got time to do it. Rome was not built in a day, and we're not going to build this system in a day. But we are going to do everything we can at the USDA to move it forward.
Next question is the marketplace via NCBA, cattle species working groups, iDairy, and state animal health departments, including Michigan and Wisconsin, recommend ISO RFID technology for the use as the only official identifier for bison and cattle. When will USDA give the industry the clarification and direction it needs by agreeing to adopt the marketplace recommendation of ISO RFID for bison and cattle?
Let me introduce to you John Clifford.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. We are technology neutral, and the requirement for animal ID right now is a visual identification device. We want the industry to drive that. If the bison industry want that technology and the tag manufacturers provide that to us, we approve that, the standards are set, they can adopt that. They can adopt that themselves. Same with all the species groups.
Let me, if I might, just add a little bit to that. Our lives in Washington would probably be a lot easier if we decided that the only car that was going to be driven in the military, in the entire U.S. fleet, was a Ford or a Chevy or whatever, Chrysler, I don't know. But you know what? I just firmly believe, again, that if we lay the platform for competition, you are going to have a system that is competitive, that brings price down, that is innovative. And then we believe that our producers, who are very, very sophisticated people, are going to make a choice about what system works for them. And that was the whole idea behind what we are doing here. Now, again, I suppose it would be a lot easier if we just passed a law that said, okay, everybody's got to participate. This is what it's going to be. You don't get a choice about it. It makes our life a lot easier. But quite honestly, I think that is the absolute worst way to proceed. We want robust competition. We want the industry competing. And we want producers to have a choice. We have a lot of years of history in this country, and I believe will show us that price competition will occur and innovation will occur with that approach.
We're getting a lot of questions. We appreciate that, and I'm having Robert Fordrain and Glenn Fisher just sort through so we get the common themes so we can try to get as many questions answered as possible. Now, Mr. Secretary, you mentioned that only in the event of an animal disease outbreak could the NAIS system be used. Does that mean that ongoing disease surveillance program will not be able to use the NAIS information?
That's a really good question. And let me offer some philosophical thought. And, John, you're making a step or two in my direction, and that's a good thing. I'm going to ask you to help me with this. Here's what I envision, and this maybe gets us to an answer to the question. This concern about confidentiality is a concern that I have shared from the very beginning. It's a concern that is born from a lot of years in experience, and quite honestly, it's born from those years on the dairy farm. This is information that my father didn't want shared with people. He didn't want people to know how many sows he farrowed in a given year or how many animals were in his dairy herd. This was information that he didn't talk about, and his neighbors didn't talk about. They talked about a lot of things, but I can't remember anyone ever bragging, you know, guess what, this year I'm milking 80 cows. It never happened. You know, that's just not the way things were done there. And so this confidentiality issue is important. What I envision in terms of this system is that if we have a need for information, we call this person here, and we say, this is the information we need. You possess it in your database. And we have a memorandum of agreement with that person, so he knows our call is coming. And we say, this is what we need to secure from your database. And you say, great, I'm happy to help you here. And you go to your database, and you search or do whatever you think is necessary. Then you call me up, and you say, Mike, I got that information you requested. Here it is. And that's how this system operates. You own the system. You own the data. And so when somebody comes along and says, look, I want to make a public records request for all of the data in the system, our response to it is very simple and straightforward. We don't have the data. He has the data, and it's privately held. He's not government. You see, that's what I am trying to achieve here in terms of animal identification and traceability. Now, I think that raises some possibilities. Let's say we have a disease outbreak. I call him and I say, in your database, I need to have you do some searching to see where this animal came from. Here's the tag number. And that searching occurs. Maybe we look at something else. But in the end, this is the person or the company that has the data. It is not data that is controlled and owned by the USDA, so we can protect the confidentiality. John, do you want to offer a thought on that?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Secretary. In the cases of our current disease programs, that data, we would be asking for that data with regards to assist us in those disease outbreak occurrences.
Final question then. In a disease outbreak situation, how will a voluntary national animal ID system provide the information needed to react quickly and accurately without everyone's participation?
It's an excellent question. Can you have effective traceability if you don't have everybody on the system? Let me just use a hypothetical here. Let's say that 2 years from now, we've got 30% of the dairy herd registered, and the other 70%, for whatever reason, those producers have chosen not to register at that point, and we have a disease outbreak. Obviously, you've got a gap, right? I mean, for me to stand up here and offer anything else would be dishonest with you. We can go to that 30%. I can call this gentleman, and maybe he has 15%, and this gentleman has 15%. Just, again, to use a hypothetical, and they can trace, and they can say, bingo, we found the information you need. Breathe a sigh of relief. Or in the alternative, they call back and say, you know, we ran that, and that animal is doesn't have our tag, doesn't have any tag. This producer decided not to. That's the very reason why we've got to continue to move this forward and do everything we can to try to get as close as we can to all animals being registered within the system. Now, you know, we had questions. Does that mean if you have one animal for the 4-H show or whatever? You know, what we're looking for is commercial identification here. We're not trying to run around trying to figure out which kid in America is going to show a calf at the county fair. But that's why we have to move this system, because, again, just to be very blunt with you and very candid with you, there's going to be a day where we have to make a decision about getting animals registered, and I think we're at that point right now. And there's just a stage here, but we're down the road, but there is going to be a stage where we will have to work with you to come to grips with how do we get as many animals as we possibly can registered so we can have effective traceability. I'm going to wrap up with a thought. And again, I just believe in being straight with people and being very candid. Here's what I see happening. You know, I've been around this a long time. I've traveled all over the world. I have spent an unbelievable amount of time trying to get markets open because of the BSE situation of a year and now more than a couple years ago, actually, the December 03 incident. Here's what I see folding out here. First of all, our producers are sophisticated people. They are in this business, and this is a part of their life. This is what they do. This is what their father did, in all likelihood, their grandfather and their great-grandfather. They're educated, sophisticated business people. They know what they're doing out there. There's going to be a day, I believe, where we will start to see the market calling for this information. What do I mean by the market? It could be a lot of different things. It could be a foreign market. It could be a retail market. It could be the consumer. It could be a lot of things, but the market is going to start sending signals, like it has already, although they're in their initial stages, that we really need to see this information. There could very well be a day where there might be a premium to providing this information. And that premium might be the difference between profit and loss. And your producers are going to have a choice to make. God forbid, there might be a day where we have a disease outbreak. again, you're sophisticated people. You work in this industry. You know what you're dealing with. I know what you're dealing with. You've seen the disease outbreaks in other parts of the world. And all of a sudden, the world changes in the snap of a finger. You know what? In December of 2003, the world changed for beef trade in the world, not just in the United States. And I would be just a lot less than honest with you if I said anything else. The world changed. If the world changes and all of a sudden you say to yourself as a producer, holy smokes, I need to be registered in some system where I can provide this information so I can continue to market the product that I am raising, you're going to want to have the ability to do that, not 3 years from now, not 6 months from now, but before sun sets. And it's going to be that kind of pressing information or pressing need. I just don't want to be there on that day having to tell you, well, we didn't move this issue. And so we don't have the ability to respond to your need. So believe me, ladies and gentlemen, these steps which are preliminary, these steps which are getting us off and running, are absolutely important and critical, because I just firmly believe that there's a day where we're going to look back on this and say to ourselves, man, that made a lot of sense that we went through that pain and agony to get where we're at today. That's what we have to concentrate on. We have to be focused. This protein industry in the United States is very, very large, and we want to make sure that we have the best technology and we have that accessible to our producers. My belief is the day will arrive where they will make a choice about when to do it, who they want to go with, and I want to make sure that we've got the platform in place for them to have an array of choices to make a good choice about their future and what they're doing. So that's part of what we're doing here today, and again, I thank you for your efforts. God bless you.